This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome. We are back here on Insider Paul Osborne coming up at the top of the hour. I want you to take your political hat off for a minute. I know it's hard to do with all of the direct mail and the annoying ads and everything that's being thrown at you with all of the gubernatorial race. You've got these congressional races. Every once in a while, judges have to step into this arena. And for 26 years, I have watched every single one of them be entirely uncomfortable with the whole process because they're not politicians, right? They are people who started their careers in the law and found their way onto the bench. And because of laws and state laws, they have to do certain things to get to where they go. But they're not anywhere near the normal political candidate. Judge Rodney Forbes is in the studios with us here today. All right. I would assume, and I'm making this assumption not because I believe that people are dumb. It's just if you look at the number of people that are, you know, on this list running for office, we had the census, you know, 10 years, they remapped everything. A lot of people won't have any idea who their state rep is or their congressional candidate until they show up at the polls. Getting down to the judge level, people are completely confused, right?
Right.
So walk us through this. You're running for circuit court judge. How do you get to the point where you're asking people to vote for you?
Well, Judge Thomas Little announced his retirement. So he's a circuit judge. He's a Macon County resident judge. And a vacancy was created when he announced his retirement.
All right. So the difference between associate judge, you know, which is appointed, correct?
Right.
And then when you get to the circuit level, you have to be elected.
That's correct. So, yeah, the circuits appoint the associates and the voters elect the circuit judges. And Judge Little announced his retirement, and I'm running for his position. So essentially my boss is retiring, and I'm running for his position.
Got it. Okay. So right now you serve as an associate judge for the 6th Judicial Circuit in Macon County.
That's correct.
And how long have you been in that seat?
2017, so nearly 5 years. It'll be 5 years in July.
All right. Well, let's walk back. Talk to me about how you got started. You got your law degree at the University of Illinois.
That's correct.
I have an 18-year-old graduating Saturday who wants to be a criminal defense attorney. And I don't know how to feel about that, to be honest with you.
I don't know whether to encourage that or discourage that at this point.
I got you.
So.
But something, you know, pointed you down that path. You had a passion for it. I mean, why did you decide to go into law?
Well, I first worked as a mechanic. I worked here in Warrensburg, and then I also worked in Staley's as a laborer. And I was locked out at Staley's. And I went back to school, and I studied English, philosophy, those types of things. I got a liberal arts degree. And then after graduating, I went to work with delinquent youth and abused and neglected youth. And that's when I started getting more interested in the law. And I went back to law school when I had young kids and got licensed to practice law in 2001.
Okay, so you have a different path maybe than some of judges. You weren't real clear on where it was you were going to land, but circumstances sort of pointed you in a different direction.
I was working as a laborer. I was happy doing that job, and then laid off, looked for some other avenue, went back to school, and ended up taking a job in social work, which I absolutely loved, and then that led to a career in law.
Okay. What do you think about our overall legal system in this country today? I mean, you've been doing this now for a minute. I mean, right. your ideals coming in versus being a veteran of seeing it day in and day out. What kind of grade do you give our justice system in this country in 2022?
I don't focus on the federal system or a lot of the Supreme Court issues that are pending. So I don't like to weigh in on that. I'm in a trial court, and so, you know, my everyday issues are family disputes or contract disputes, medical malpractice or criminal cases that, have, you know, they're local issues. So I don't get involved in the bigger picture. I stay very focused on all these local issues, the issues that are present every day in, like, orders of protection cases or eviction cases, those types of things.
All right. With your social work background, does that give you a different insight, you think, on the bench? I mean, because you've seen sort of, I'm imagining, horrible things and conditions that kids are in and families, and then they are now in front of you in court and you have to make decisions. Does it give you a different perspective?
Well, it gives me a perspective, I guess. I don't know how different it is from others. began working with abuse and neglected kids and delinquent kids back in 1998. So it's been some years ago now. And then when I first got my law degree, I started practicing. I was working with victims of domestic violence. So that was also kind of a social work type of a job. And then I went into private practice, and I did that for about 5 years. And then I went into public service, and I did that for about 14 years before being appointed a judge.
And that was for the Macon County Public Defender's Office.
That's correct. And I was eventually appointed to chief public defender in that office.
All right. It's interesting. I'm watching this show based on the Michael Connelly novels called The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. Do you watch stuff about the law as entertainment, or is it impossible to do it?
Generally not. Okay. Yes, it's just too scripted.
Okay, I was going to say, I always used to ask doctors. You know,
sorry, that's hearsay.
Do you watch ER? Object. but they do. Yeah. What's beautiful about, and it is scripted, and it's from a novel, so clearly. Right. But what they do in this show is they give you, it's so easy, I think, for Americans to go, oh, that guy did it, or criminals. But the beauty of our system is that you're innocent until, you know, proven guilty. And the important role that the defense lawyer plays, you know, because sometimes innocent people get railroaded, and sometimes circumstances are different. And it does paint a portrait of that gives you a little bit of a fictional, albeit, right, understanding of just how important that role is.
Well, yes, there's the presumption of innocence, and that presumption carries with the defendant throughout the trial until after the person is found guilty. And then, of course, things change dramatically. Bonds are revoked and sentences are imposed. But that presumption remains with that defendant throughout the proceeding.
Yeah. There was an interesting line, and I know you're not here to talk about TV, but it kind of humanizes you a little bit. Yeah. The father of the character in the flashback talks about how he would much rather have a guilty client that's found guilty and go to jail than an innocent client he couldn't get off, because that's, you know, what keeps him from sleeping. And I thought, man, that's a heavy sort of way of looking at, because you don't get to decide for yourself as a defense attorney. You just take the clients.
Well, that's right. And my experience in defending persons accused of crimes, most people admit that they've done something wrong. It's just a matter of, what do we do now? What's the appropriate sentence?
And figuring out how not to clog up the system and everything else. I have been, in the last few years, I have had two jury summons to be a juror here in Macon County. That's a very interesting process. It seems very locked into like 50 years ago, right? No phones, no technology. What does all that look like moving ahead?
Well,
as everything else changes.
Right. We're still having in-person juries. We're not having, you know, Zoom-type juries, although that's been floated with COVID. But I'm assigned to jury trials 1 week each month. I have criminal jury trials. So I see that on a monthly basis, and it is old school. We bring them in. We question them all in person. We try to, at least during COVID, maintain some separation and some distance and take some special precautions. But there are no cameras without special permission, and it's essentially the same proceeding now as it was, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah, what was interesting to me, just firsthand account of going through that process a couple of times, was there's a lot of sitting around and waiting on the jury's or the potential jury's part, and everybody waits till the day of a trial to make a settlement or to figure out a deal. I mean, there was a lot of like, okay, well, now this case isn't going to happen.
That's right. Yeah, it needs to be said. Everybody needs that deadline.
Yeah.
Otherwise, things just don't get done.
All right. So you still love the job?
Oh, absolutely. Being a judge is the best job that the practice of law has to offer. So I just love being a judge.
All right. So why the next step?
Well, I just think it's important that the next person who becomes a circuit judge has the experience to be a circuit judge. This circuit will be a supervisor of other judges. We have 4 circuits, 5 associate judges. So we want to make sure that this person has the experience and ability to do the job.
Okay. I got to ask you, what is it like to put a robe on? I mean, you know, that's a whole different, Nick and I were talking about uniforms. I mean, that's a whole different level of things. And I'll never forget William Rehnquist at the Bill Clinton impeachment trial with the 3-stripe thing. What did that mean, if anything? And are you allowed just to sort of, you know, decorate in any way?
I don't have any decorations on my robe. You know, we're worried about our appearances.
Okay.
I don't, Judge Judy has like a doily or something around.
Yeah, there's
her
something.
Robes.
Yeah, it's very. It seems so, sort of British or something, right? Yeah, right. So is that heady though? I mean, you're literally that robe, and what it represents to people, good and or bad. I mean, that's a powerful iconographic sort of thing. I mean, that is our law. That's our justice. That's the people. I mean, that must be a heady thing. I mean, even after you've done it for so long, to put that on and go into a courtroom.
It is. As soon as you put that robe on, if there are other people in the office, everybody knows that it's time to get down to business and we get serious. And I don't take that responsibility lightly.
All right. So electjudgeforbes.org is the website, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So I'm assuming you can't wait for this process to get over.
I cannot. Early voting starts today.
It does.
Right.
And I've heard your ads. I know you're out there. Is this weird? Because you seem a little not quiet today, but like I'm assuming if I come into your courtroom,
right,
you preside.
Well,
and now you got to come out and do this kind of stuff.
Right. Well, I think that when people appear in court, they know who's in charge.
Yeah.
If you're sitting on the bench, you don't need to be forceful. You don't need to yell or direct people to act a certain way, typically.
Yeah.
You just conduct business. So.
All right. I like it. Yeah. I like it. All right. So you were appointed in 2017. As you mentioned earlier, early voting starts today. How do you... do you feel like most people will probably not know until they go and get a ballot and actually vote? I mean, there's so many changes and so many candidates out there across so many offices. Not that what you're doing is any less important than any of that. It's just hard to get outside the noise.
No, I believe that. I think that a lot of people don't have an idea as to who the candidates are or what the issues are or who's running and who's running for what. So a lot of it is just getting the information out to those voters and letting them know who I am and what's at stake.
All right. So you are a Republican Party candidate, meaning you have to pick a party, right?
That's correct.
I mean, that's legally, you have to do that.
Right.
Does that play into it at all, the way we think about Republicans and Democrats or red and blue in the rest of these races?
Well, you know, I'm a conservative, and I think that plays into it, but... a judicial candidate is prohibited from making any statement that may commit or appear to commit that candidate to an issue that might appear before the court. So we can't be political in any way. And as a sitting judge, I take that rule very seriously. So all I can do is argue my qualifications for the judge and who I am. And so I don't get into any political issues whatsoever. I don't think it's right to give hints as to how I might rule. If I say that I'm tough on crime, then I'm going to have every criminal defense attorney sub me out on the case. I'll never hear a criminal case.
Yeah, I get
it. If I say the opposite, then every state's attorney would sub me out. So I have to remain neutral. I'm very careful not to make any statement that might impinge on my ability to act as a judge.
I get it. All right, one last question. When you tell a jury that they need to strike that last testimony, right, and not pay attention, does that work? Can you get that out of someone's head?
That question, Brian.
Well, yeah.
How do you rectify unhearing something?
Yeah, when that happens, and I'm once again relying on a Netflix series, so your qualifications are way more than mine. But I mean, once you hear something as a juror, how do you unhear it?
Well, I don't know that it can be done. All you can do is instruct them as to not... consider that when they make their decision and hope that that's good enough. If the court feels that they can't unhear it and it's just too bad, then the court can call a mistrial.
Yeah.
And so it's a judicial call many times.
All right. Listen, we appreciate your time. Thank you for coming in today.
Well, thank you.
All right. Judge Rodney Forbes, he'd like your vote. You can start voting today, early voting beginning.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.